Psalm 119. Nice to hear those Bibles turned, amen? Psalm 119. Nice to hear them anyway. Got with hearing aids. It's nice to hear stuff once in a while, amen? Did you hear about the old guy? Finally got hearing aids. After 2 weeks, he changed his will 3 times. You got to think of that, you know. He heard what they were actually talking about. But yeah, thank you. I just thought it helped. Let's stand for God's word tonight. Psalm 119. One verse. Verse 18. Psalm 119. Verse 18. I saw somebody looking at me and said, 119. Oh, my God. Yes, we're going to do it verse by verse. You know, this took me about 4 weeks to get through 119, amen, when I was teaching verse by verse in the Psalm. But we won't do that tonight, amen. Psalm 119 and verse 18. Open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Let's say it together. Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for these dear folks that have come tonight. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God would do a great work in our lives tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you know, for most of you at Vacation Bible School, we have special nights at our church. We have sports night. We have island night. Island night started when we had a missionary over in Barbados. And also the Dominican Republic. And then with Brother Nathan Gross over in Hawaii, we started having island nights. So everybody wore these crazy, wild shirts, you know. And so that's one night. And then we also have sports night, and everybody wears their favorite sports memorabilia, favorite team, like... But I still have a hard time with that. You believing that you ought to be with the Steelers.
Steel.
Oh, I see. Yeah. But anyway, and Penguins and all that other kind of stuff, amen. But one night we have Western night. Now, Rosie, you'd like that night. Cowgirl, boots on, and Western wear, big old 10-gallon hats, and I'll tell you, yee-haw. It's a great night, and we have it. Well, one night, we had all these kids come in, and one little guy, just a little fella, walked in, and he had his dad 10-gallon hat on. I mean to tell you, it was right down over his ears like this, you know, and it was the cutest thing, and he walks in, came sitting about the second row. And so we have a march in. We give the pledge of allegiance to the flag and pledge of allegiance to the Christian flag and pledge of allegiance to the Bible. And then we sing some songs. And then we have pennies. We give pennies, you know, boys against girls. And the boys yell out, boys rule, girls drool. And we do kind of crazy stuff like that, you know. Ricky and Ricky come out. Now, that's a big deal. We have a couple in our church that dress up like twins, and they are, of course, the crazy guys. But anyway, and then Pee Wee and all the other things. But after that's over, then I teach a lesson. I draw a picture. And so as I was drawing the picture that night, all of a sudden this little guy, somehow the hat had come over his head like this. It's down like this. And he's screaming, I can't see! I can't see! I can't see! And thankfully, one of our teachers went over and pulled his hat up over his head. And he goes, oh, you know, in life, sometimes that's really what happens to us. The world kind of pulls that hat over our heads and over our eyes, and we can't see. And so I wrote down some things I think that we ought to, that we should open our eyes to see. The Bible says here, in Psalm 119 and verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. The law is always the word of God. The testimony, the law, the book, it always means the Bible. So, first of all, I would say, God, open my eyes to see the wonders of creation. don't know about you, but creation to me is just an amazing thing. I tried to. Last night, thank God, I went outside and I looked up and I finally saw the stars. Haven't seen them for a while. Pretty smoky out there, amen. But every night before I go to bed, I go outside and, of course, my dog thinks that it's time to play. And old Spike and I play a little bit of ball together, play a little soccer together. And then when I come up off that platform there, I look up. And I see the stars, and I'm awed by what God has given to us, an amazing thing, and how that He has so blessed us with that. You know, we should be able to have an understanding of the universe that God has given to us. I think that we ought to be very careful that we understand the difference between historical and observational science, and between a fallible man and infallible God. There's a lot of things that people are saying about our creations, and it just ain't so. It just ain't so. It's a bunch of lying. They're trying to take God out of the equation of the creation. And just lately, there's a man that just a scientist, quote unquote scientist. He's a dimwit, but he just wrote a book about how that a new Earth is going to be born. And he says it's very simple. It can be happened. Well, observation principles of the fact of science and do not contradict Bible Christianity. This is what you got. That's what God said was going to be. God said on the first day. God said on the second day. God said on the third day, fourth, fifth, sixth day, seventh day He rested. God said those things. A true Christian should maintain that Genesis chapter 1 through 11 is history. It's not fiction. It's not storytelling by ignorant, primitive people. It is fact. At Heritage Baptist Church, we trust the Word of God, who knows. We trust to choose the Word of God, who knows. These are many who will tell, there are many who tell you and teach your children, even in public schools today, that God's million years to create this universe. It took God millions and millions and billions of years. You go down to the what's that place down in Bozeman? And everything is million, billion, quadrillion, superdillion, whatever years. The dinosaurs there. That's baloney. When I was a kid, they tried to push that off dinosaurs, and I just said, "Why wouldn't there be dinosaurs? I mean, if we find, but there was even some preachers back in those days." That they were afraid that somebody found something, and so they started saying, well, maybe there was many years of... No. If you find a dinosaur that, like for instance, like the woolly mammoth up in Alaska, they found one. I was up there's one in Juneau, I believe, in an ice cave up there. And guess what he had? And they went in and checked out what he had been eating. Guess what he was eating? Ferns. Well, I'm going to tell you right now that ferns don't grow in an ice cave. Okay? These are tropical ferns. And I have not found anything tropical in Alaska, Mrs. Moore. Mrs. Moore grew up there, amen. God is, if God created the world over millions of years, that would have been death before the fall. Hardly the definition of a very good creation. When God created heaven and the earth, He says, very good, right? But if it took thousands and millions of years, there had to be death. And so how things could die if they were... How can things die when God says, no, it's very good? If days of creation are really geologic ages of millions of years, then the gospel message is undermined in its foundation because it puts death, disease, thorns, suffering before the fall. Just think of that. Can't happen. It can't happen. Here's seven reasons why a true born-again Christian should believe the six-day creation. Number one, Jesus and cosmology. Jesus read the text of history and accepted the plain language meaning in Genesis 1 through 3. And He spoke about it in the Bible. Jesus, number three, Jesus was not just a man, but participating in the creation of God. Therefore, how could Jesus allow error in the Word of God, now speak of it in the Scriptures, if it was not true and it was a lie? Jesus can't do that. He can't tell a lie. He tells no lies. Number four, Jesus allowed the Gospel of Luke to trace his genealogy back to who? Adam. Well, if there's thousands and millions of years before that, don't you think he'd say, no, you can't do that. Number five, disciples followed Jesus. They did not teach him. In the most natural reading of the Hebrew text, not days, age, God work day, or non-chronological 24-hour day, the plain language reading is a traditional view. That day after day, 24-hour day. Even modern critics, scholars, think the traditional view reflects the author's intent of the text. Theistic evolution believes that God is not the God of the Bible. Well, we got a problem there. If God's not the God of the Bible, then what do we have? New views about Genesis 1 and 2 are inconsistent with inerrancy and traditional interpretation. People never thought about that before. There's a higher educated geologist and paleontologist who affirms the possibility of young earth creationism. And if you'd like to find more facts about that, you can go to Answers in Genesis. That's got a great, great deal. But I'll tell you what, I just went to that and I just went over some things. I thought, you know what? God created this magnificent universe. And he created it perfect. But mankind, because of sin, made this our earth go kittywampus. There's never death before man took of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, if you take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. So that's where it all started. That's where it happened. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. I was wondering, why do you call it the evening and the morning the first day? You ever wonder about that? Well, our mornings start at night. Start at evening. 0000, 0000, amen? Then 0001, 0002, 0003, on and on. Starts at night. In fact, our day is about to end, and it's going to start tomorrow at 12 o'clock tonight, amen? And so God said, it's a 24-hour day. 6 days God created this magnificent universe. I'm glad he did. I'm glad. It's beautiful. We live in a beautiful universe. So God created the heaven and the earth, water and light on the first day. Second day, he created the firmament. Firmament was a bubble of water over the world. And it was, say like this, the world, there was a bubble over it. It's very interesting. It changed the atmospheric pressure, winds that we fly into when we're in an airplane over 3,000? Trade winds, and there's some other thing. I can't remember what they're called. But anyway, it changed that. It changed the pressure. Right now, you have a little bit less, but if we're at sea level, you're at 14.7 pounds per square inch pushing on your body. I scuba dive, and so that I have to be very careful when I dive in these lakes up in the mountains because there's a different chart to go by. Your body right now, let's say you're 14.7. If you go down, in the water, in the depths of the water, 30-some feet down, it'll double. 33 feet, it'll double. And every 33 feet you go down, it doubles. So when you get down 100 feet, I've been down 120 before. When you're expelling your air, those bubbles down there are about that big. They're just tiny. How many scuba dive? I know Scott has. They're just tiny, and they just. But when you get up, they're going boop, 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 boop. And so what has happened is the deeper it gets, the more pressure it has. That's why you can't get in a submarine. Submarine's very dangerous when you go down certain feet because they'll just crush. And so it's an amazing thing but it's amazing also God made it in our bodies that we could breathe out and doesn't crush our lungs. And the air is, you can keep breathing down there. Amen. So it's amazing how God made us. But on the firmament, there's a lot of guys believe that the firmament, when it was here, the atmospheric pressure was different. They believe that the magnetic field was stronger. There's a lot of things that are going. Our magnetic field, of course, is losing just a trickle every once in a while. So, but God made that. And during the flood, the Bible says that God brought down the water from above and below. And when he did that, of course, the firmament is no more there. Amen. So we have the firmament. Second, third day, God separated land from the water, and he made our herbs and the trees. And thank God for that. Amen. And what's important about having on the third day, having trees?
Photosynthesis.
Yeah. And what happens in photosynthesis? Huh?
Oxygen.
Yeah, that's kind of nice to have. Amen. I'm glad we have a few trees. Amen. And so God created that, herbs and the trees, and started our oxygen supply for us to breathe. On the fourth day, God gave us the sun, moon, the stars, the planet. Wow. Amazing. He put them all in order. Lewis and Clark, when they came across from St. Louis, Missouri, and came over here to Seaside, they said that as they drew the maps, there's only one or two places that they're off, only 40 miles off. All the rest of them almost exactly what they are today. Isn't that incredible? How'd they do it? They did it with a sextant. Sextant has a level. Has a 360-degree, two 360-degree compasses on it, and one compass, but I mean I'm talking about compass with the numbers on it. And they could take a fix of the horizon, take a fix of the sun, take a fix of the star, knew exactly where they were. What a GPS, amen, huh? And they're tremendous how they did that. And they came across. Your forefathers, most of your forefathers came across the pond from Europe, came here, and they did that without street maps, and they came across with compasses and with the sextants coming across and making sure they know how to get back here. So thank God for God putting those, and the Bible said those were here for years and months and seasons and days. Amen. On the fifth day, God created the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air, and which I'm very thankful for. Amen. And by the way, God tells us, now guys, if you're looking for an excuse to go fishing, the Bible said we're supposed to have dominion over those. It's our responsibility to have dominion over those fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. So just remember that. So next time your wife says, "Honey, where are you going?" I said, "Well, I got to have some dominion over the birds and the fish that God gave me to take care of." Amen. On the sixth day, God made the beasts of the field and all the creeping things. That's a creepy day. Amen. And after he finished that, he made his crowning. Development made man. Made man in his own image and his likeness, he made man. And breathed in him the spirit of life in him. Amen. And so then he told man, "I want you to name all the animals." I don't understand the timeline here. He said, "I want you to name all the animals." He named all the animals. And then the Lord said that it's not good for man to be alone. Man, I'm glad that you did that. Amen. Not good for man to be alone. He needs a woman. Amen. And someone said, "How do you think Eve got the name woman?" Well, this out went. Are you ready? This is in the Hebrew. When God put Adam down and gave him anesthetic and put him to sleep, amen. He took a rib out of him and he formed a woman for him. And the Bible says that. When Adam woke up, he saw her and said, "Whoa, man!" So anyway, that's how woman came. That's how we named woman. That's in the Greek, and you can check it. All right. So praise God, amen. And they were to live happily ever after. God made them that they would live happily ever after. He gave them the tree of life that they could live off that, and gave everything in the tree, everything in the garden to eat. Gave them a beautiful garden. And but of course Satan had to stick his dirty old snooty nose into the process, and he challenged Eve to distrust God and God's word. And she did. She failed. And because of that, they were kicked out of the garden. You heard the story about Abel when he died. And then that happened, and Seth was walking by the garden one day with Adam. He said, "Dad, what is that?" He said, "That's the Garden of Eden." He said, "Why don't we live there?" "Oh, Mom ate us out of house and home." All right. Number two. We ought to open our eyes to His mighty power. We ought to open our eyes to God's mighty power. We ought to open our eyes to His creation. We ought to open our eyes to His mighty power. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1:37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." I'm glad about that, aren't you? "For with God nothing shall be impossible." There's also possibilities. Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, "And I heard as it were a voice of a mighty, great multitude, and as a voice of many waters, and a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Wow, He's a powerful God. Don't you let anybody tell you that God is not powerful. Don't you let anybody tell you that God does not care for you. Don't you let anybody tell you that God is not concerned by every little thing that's going on in your life. He is. One time I was preaching, I said, "God even cares about you ladies standing there at the sink washing your dishes. God cares about that." And I was accosted by that by a person in my church, and Elkton. And I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "God cares about everything you do. Everything you do is important. Even sometimes the little things are more important than the big things. Sometimes the little things. In fact, most of the time, little things are more important than the big things. And God is omnipotent, and He's all powerful, and He cares about you. He cares about your life and the troubles and sorrows that you have in your life. God cares about you. Don't ever forget that. Don't belittle my God. Don't live like an atheist. God cares for you." Number three, let us ask God to open our eyes about His guidance. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:5-6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart." Trust the Lord with all thine heart. "And lean not unto thine own understanding." Oh my. I get in so much trouble trusting my own self. Man, I get in trouble. Good night, I get in trouble trusting my own self. Why did I just do this instead of praying? The other day I had to do something, and I said, and I was kind of frustrated because I didn't have much time to do it. And I had to go someplace and get something, but I thought about going another way and going another place. And I just said, "Dear God," I said, "You got to direct me. I just got to know what to do." I said, "I don't want to waste time. I don't have time. I've got to be back." And it just seemed like all of a sudden a car pulled in front of me and I had to make a turn. And so I said, "Well, I'm already here. I'll just go in." And sure enough, wouldn't you know, they had five of the things I needed. And I walked in. Picked them up, walked up, and the lady said, "Would you come on here? I'll check you out." Just like that. Now, if I went halfway across town, I don't even know they'd had what I needed. I beg God for His guidance. You don't have time to waste time. I don't have time to waste time. And I beg God. I beg God for His guidance. I don't want to mess this thing up, okay? I've been serving the Lord for a while. I don't want to mess up my last years. I don't want to screw things up. That all of a sudden, you know, Paul the Apostle, he prayed. He said, "Lord, I don't want to be a castaway." I'll tell you what, I see a lot of people becoming castaways lately. They just giving up. They're giving up. They're giving in. They just say, "Well, it's not worth it." I had a little mom come to me and said, "Preacher, I'm tired. I just keep beating him all the time." She wasn't beating him, but she was disciplining him. You beat something to hurt it. You discipline to teach him. And she said, I'm done. I can't do it no more." And then I explained to her how I grew up. And she says, "You were 19 when you finally got..." Yeah, I was 19 when I finally... I was the spoiledest kid in the world. My mama whooped me. Whooped me, whooped me, whooped me. I mean, my backside was tanned so much you could hang it in the living room. I'm telling you, it was, I mean to tell you. And my mama, she'd cry, and Sheldon, what am I going to do with you? And then she'd say this would kill me. She said, you're not my Sheldon. What did you do with him? Who are you, little boy? So she'd say, hey, kill me. Kill me. Because I was the only son. She used to say, you're the best son I have. Then I started figuring that out. I was the only son she had. And I'm going to tell you, I'm talking to this lady, and I said, I was 19 before I realized what was going on in my life. And she says, are you kidding me? I said, no. I said, I'm a preacher now, so I guess something worked. You know, sometimes we just get to the point, we'll just quit. Well, that's the worst thing you do. You've already spent so much time building that relationship with that child. Just keep at it, amen. It's our responsibility. You say, but I'm so tired of it. Well, why don't you think back how you were? I had a family come to my office and said, Pastor, I tell you what, our kid, and it just blew off a whole bunch of stuff. And I said, hey, let me ask you something. When you were 16, what did you do? Well, that's different. That's what they said to me. I said, no, it's not different. I said, be cool. Love them. Care for them. Be stern with them. Make sure that they know that when they put their stinking feet underneath your table, that they owe to behave themselves. If they want to go out and live on the streets, want to live, then let them go. He said, what would you do that for? Because they have a free will. And you can do everything you can for a child. Everything. But you can't get them to live right unless they want to live right. Isn't that right, Mama? Huh? How many mamas have been around a few years? Isn't that right? Oh. You can be the best mom in the world. Unless that child's unwilling to come under the discipline and come under your responsibility to them, well, you got some trouble. Would somebody say amen or oh me? Yeah. So we need God to give us guidance to raise our children. Every morning you ought to be begging God for your children. I tell you what, the reason you have a pastor here is because he had a mother that would pray. I'd come home late at night. I'd get to the second step of stairs and I'd get over that third one because that was a squeaker. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, shame on you. And I'd hear my little mama. I'd hear my dad snoring. And I'd hear my mama praying, oh God, be with my wayward boy. I wasn't as wayward I could have been, but I was disobedient. I thank God that God kept me out of a lot of problems that I could have been in. Pharaoh said to God, he said, God, I didn't touch her. He was talking about Sarah. And God says, because I didn't let you. There's a lot of things that we try to give ourselves credit for not doing some bad things, and God was holding things back so we couldn't do those things. Aren't you glad about that, brother? Amen. Aren't you glad about that, sister? Well, we could have messed up. We wouldn't even have a pulpit ministry if that was there. So the guidance of God is very important in your life. You need to be very careful. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. We have to trust Him. Lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. He will. Every time I do something, I'll screw it up. But when I allow the Holy Spirit of God to work in my heart and work in my life, you say, but Pastor, you're talking about going and getting something. I don't care what it is, brother. I don't care what it is, sister. We ought to have the mind of Christ and the fact that said, Lord, you need to show me which way to go. Lord, you need to show me how to handle this thing. Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to. In fact, there's a lot of times in my life I don't know how to pray. Do you ever get to the point in your life? Dear God, what do I pray about? What do I, Lord, my brain is so gone. I some people have post-traumatic stress disorder. They can't pray. They can't even think straight sometimes. The pressures of life are just crazy. What they need to do is say, and I tell a lot of my friends about that. I said, sometimes you just have to say, Holy Spirit of God, pray for me. The Bible said He is the advocate who comes and prays for us. There's some things that are going to happen in your life, sister. I'm telling you, you've got four kids. You got three gnarly little boys and a beautiful little girl. There's some times in your life you're going to say, good night, what, Lord God, what am I going to do? Yeah, you will. Yeah, you will. Your preacher husband would probably be someplace like in the Philippines or something, going on a mission trip or something like that. You're home alone. What in the world are you going to do? I'll tell you what you do. You say, dear God, I need your help. I need to know how to handle this right now. And I don't know. I don't even have a foggy. Have you ever heard of that? I don't even have a foggy. So in our lives that we have, we must, first of all, believe in God and His creation. We need to believe in God and His mighty power. We need to believe in God and His guidance. God, open my eyes to your guidance. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't want to go down the wrong trail. I don't want to move if you want me to stay. I don't want to stay if you want me to move. I want to be very, very careful in my life because I don't want to mess up, because it may be someone would go to hell because I wasn't there and do what I was supposed to do. Did you know that's important? Yes, it is. Number four. Dear God, by the way, it's 6:58, so I haven't gone over yet, so hang on, all right? Dear God, open my eyes to see, and I think this is a big one, to see His love. Can you believe that God loved you? First of all, can you believe some lady or some gentleman loved you and asked to marry you? We kind of married up, didn't we? Huh? Yeah. To think of love is a wonderful thing. Oh my goodness, love is a wonderful thing. To think that somebody loved me, to think that she would let you put your arm around her in church service. Love is an amazing thing. But it doesn't even hit the Richter scale when it comes to God's love for us. God of heaven looks down to this earth. This earth is going to hell, let's face it. Chapter 6, I believe in Genesis chapter 5, it says, and God looked down and he said, what in the world, why did I ever make these people? They are evil continually. That's what the Bible says. But all through history, God has tried everything He could. God, the Almighty, the creator of this universe, has tried everything He could to get us to realize that He loves us. And that His program and His way of life is better than ours. And a lot safer. Oh, the love of God. It's unbelievable. We can't even touch it. To think that someone would love us so much, we who have given Him such sewage in our lives, still loves us. Still forgives us. He gives this beautiful verse over in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that the most amazing? That's love. There's some people in this world that, you know, you're living by them and you're living with them and they do something stupid and we get a burr under our saddle and we don't like it and frustrates us and we get mad and pitch a fuss and that same person says, hey, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And you're going like, are you a out of your mind what you just did to me and you want me to forgive you? Are you crazy? May I remind you what the Bible says? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you love one another. I've had some horrendous hits in my life being a pastor. And when I get upset about it, I've got a problem because I think of myself, it's called pride. I think of myself as something special. Think what Jesus had to endure. All his disciples forsook him, the Bible says. Paul the Apostle, all the things that he had preached the gospel and year after year and travel and all kinds of, read 2 Corinthians, you want to know what world guy he was. Stoned and beaten in the depths of the sea and hungry and naked and on and on and on. And he says, they've forsaken me. So we all have to come back to the fact that, hey, wait a minute, this is not circling around me. This is circling about him. It's all about him. It's not about me. I think we as Christians ought to be very careful in our deportment with brothers and sisters in Christ. I think we ought to be the first one that says, hey, I forgive you. There's a man that was one of my deacons, and he was telling me about a church he attended, and this guy just kept screwing up all the time. And then he'd come up and say, hey, you got to forgive me. That's what the Bible says. He said, man, I like to just, to the moon, goon, man. He said, make me so mad. And he said, it just seemed like you just kept doing it and doing it and doing it out of stupidity. Man, it made him mad. And then he said, one day I was having a talk with the Lord. And the Lord reminded me of the stupidity things I was doing to him. Boy, he said, that changed my heart and attitude. In his love, he gave us the Bible. Lord, open my eyes to that. God gave me the Bible. Don't you love your Bible? Hallelujah, I got a Bible. I got a Bible. Secondly, his love gave us himself on the cross. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. John 15:13, what a beautiful verse. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Wow. Dear God, show me that. God, open my eyes to see the love that Jesus has for me. Because when he shows the love for me, boys, I can show his love to others. That's a change. That's a change in our lives. Also, his love he gave us at his resurrection. That's unbelievable. See, Jesus rose, so therefore when I die, I will rise. That's a great love. You know, people die all the time. All the time. Every day. Good night, I looked in the newspaper today and all the people have died. Some in their 50s, some in their 40s. Unbelievable. They die. We have a sister who works the ICU with us tonight. She sees it all the time. God bless you, sis, for what you do. Amazing stuff. They're gone. One minute you're fighting for their life, the next minute they're gone. That's the end. It's done. Thank God for heaven. Amen. Thank God for heaven. Thank God that God has prepared a place for us. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you I'd go to prepare a place for you. That where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know the way, you know. Now I'm kind of glad Thomas doubted a little bit, because then we got the full answer. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh on the Father but by me. His love gave us salvation. In that His love gave us the church. I'm sure glad that I have a church to come to tonight. I'm sure glad I can come and fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, I'm glad I can talk about things and I can testify. I can cry on your shoulder and you can cry on mine. And we can pray for each other. We can rejoice with each other. Sometimes we can vent to each other. One time my wife came home, I hardly ever vented. She came home. I said, that's enough of that. That's what I told her. I said, I don't want to hear no fussing. And she said, well, if I can't talk to you, who do I have to talk to? I said, the Lord. Well, she says, Abraham's wife called him Lord, so I want to talk to you. Brainy lady, amen. Yeah. Thank God for the love that God has for us. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The last one is, open our eyes to see the eternal life. This is just the beginning. This morning's sermon I preached about the things of life and how that people wanted to, you know, they just think that life is this. Shoot. This isn't even a spark off a rock compared to all eternity. This is just proving grounds for us. This is just places we can show that we love God and that we're going to trust Him. God makes no mistakes. I want you to get a hold of that. God makes no mistakes. Number two, nothing ever surprised God Almighty. And number three, He cares for you. And He'll never leave you nor forsake thee. And He'll help you. All you need to do is ask Him. I've watched some of you dads with your kids. And the love they have for you, these kids. But Jesus says that God loves us with a greater love than our Father. I don't know how that can be, Brother Rick. I know you love your boys. And then you got that girl in there. Now you're really in trouble. I see you guys with your boys and your girls. And love them to death. See old Clyde dragging those kids around. I see Rachel as a little bit more intense in her life than some of us do. But I see that love. But God said that's nothing compared to the Almighty God that loves for you. You're not alone. He's always with you. And there may be times in your life that may be the most difficult time of your life. I'm going to tell you something. The more difficult it is, the closer God is to you. Just trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. Always trust Him. Always trust Him. Always trust Him. Nancy, what's that song? Only trust Him. What is that? What is that? Folks, take your songbook, please.
I'm going to close with that.
163. Let's stand tonight. 163. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're saved, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, let me tell you that there's a God that loves you so much. I invite you to come to Him. Come every soul by sin oppressed. Listen now. There's mercy. Mercy. God holds back what we deserve with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. If you're not in his word, you're in trouble. All right.
There's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you. Shed his precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you now.
Who you are. And Lord, I know that's incredible. The scripture said that there's no way that we can figure out God. There's no way that we can know exactly what he does. But I'll tell you, Lord God, we got enough to know how we ought to be and how we ought to treat them. Dear God, help us love one another. Help us, Lord, this week as we go over our separate ways, work. Help us, Lord God, to be more like you. I pray for Brother Martin tonight, Lord God, would you feed his heart. Lord, give him something special today and tonight. Me and our ladies are going to be traveling all over to come to our meeting on Friday. Lord, help us as we get ready. Help us as we come to clean tomorrow. Lord, help us as we get the kids ready for school tomorrow. Some teaching their kids. Lord, just watch them. Here's our country. Here's our president, vice president, cabinet, Lord God. Be with all the men and women that we call the United States of America. Help us, Lord. I pray for the folks over in France. Pray for the folks in London. Lord, that these attacks have been happening. Lord God, please protect us. And Lord, we're going to trust you all in it. Lord, I pray that you bless us. In Jesus' name. Lord God, please. Amen.